The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and offer a sacrifice, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the power of the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the customary rituals of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go. I will go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to the mother, Mary, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sign to be contradicted, and you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, spoke to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. This is a curious gospel, and it's found, this text about the presentation is found only in the Gentile Gospel of Luke. As you know, Matthew's gospel was a Jewish gospel written for Jewish converts, and it has all of the prophecies of the Old Testament finding fulfillment. That's the dictation you'll find in the Gospel of Matthew. Luke, however, Luke is a Gentile. We thought, by the way, for a long time that Luke was a doctor. And so you'll find hospitals named St. Luke, and you'll find often references St. Luke, the physician. But recent scholarship in scripture says Luke was not a physician. And that conclusion comes from the fact that in the time of Jesus, physicians were not educated people. They were the people that cut your leg off if you needed an amputation, but they were not educated. Whereas this Gospel of Luke was written by somebody who was highly educated. His Greek is very sophisticated in the Gospel of Luke, much more so than the other Gospels. So this was a high-level scholar. And for that reason, the conclusion is he was not a physician. The notion of a physician comes from St. Paul. When St. Paul is imprisoned in Rome, he has a reference there in his letter to Colossians that Luke, my physician, is with me. Well, there were many, many Lukes on that day. And so that became attached to the Gospel of Luke, which in recent scholarship says not reliable. So let me look at this narrative about the presentation of Jesus. The teaching I want to draw from it has to do with seeing. Now, in biblical language, seeing is not just observing. It's not just something that's sighted. Seeing is making a connection. A couple of weeks ago, we had Jesus walking by the sea, and he sees two brothers, James and John, mending their nets. He sees them, and he calls them, and they follow him. You'll find seeing over and over again in chapter 5 in John's Gospel. We have a man who is sick for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus comes to him, and he sees him, and then he heals him. He sees the leper. He sees the multitude who are hungry, and he feeds the multitude of the loaves and fishes. So seeing has a different meaning when you come to reading biblical language. And in this gospel, the only people that see the messianic Jesus are Simeon and Anna. There were many others in the temple at the time. They did not see the child Jesus as the messianic Christ. Only Simeon and only Anna saw that. They had a gift of seeing something deeper. And it came from the profound prayer that they had. They prayed and fasted constantly in the temple. The deep sense of mystical prayer they had allowed them, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to see what others could not see. Now, what does this mean to us? Sometimes it takes a radical experience. Now, keep in mind that Simeon and Anna are elderly people, like me. And they appeal to me in that way. I try to get to meet them. Who are these people? And tell me a little bit about them. I want to get to know them. So, but for us, in our journey of life, certain radical experiences in life, some great failure in your life, some great default, a profound sin in your life, some very bad decision you made in your life, makes you stop and think again. You don't rush. You don't react. You think and you respond. Sickness, an experience of death. If you get old and infirm, you tend to read the landscape of life in a new way. You begin to see in a new way. If you reflect on your sins, you'll see in a new way. I have a priest friend, very good friend, good brother, excellent priest. And he belongs to Alcoholics Anonymous for 20 years now. And he will testify that the greatest gift God gave him was his addiction to alcohol. It was a gift. What seems like a failure was in fact a grace. Now he's more compassionate. He's more understanding. Now he's more patient with people. He understands human weakness, born out of the insight that comes from his own weakness. So someday, we begin to confront and own the failures of our life. The times when we thought we were certain. You know how embarrassing it is when you put your dig in and you're certain and you kind of make your point, and then later on you find out you were wrong and you have to apologize. It tends to generate humility. So the failure has a grace in it. And the failure allows us to see in a new way. In a way, it's maturing in life. We all belong to the cosmos. Teilhard de Chardin speaks about this in his Phenomenon of Man. He says, we all belong to a cosmic reality. We are all part of God's creation. We are not separate from all the other parts of creation. We're all influenced by the moon. We have cycles. We go through the seasons of life. When you're young, you go through the springtime of life. You have ambitions, you have dreams, and you go through a whole growing. And then you get the summer, which is layback, wonderful, marvelous, fine. And then the fall comes, disappointments, failures, betrayal, whatever it is in your life. And then you have a winter experience, darkness, discouragement. And by the grace of God, understanding the cycles of life, you will be led back in grace to a springtime, a new rebirth. This is the meaning of life. You'll find this, the notion of seeing is very important. But for us, seeing will only come when we enter into the fullness of humanity. When we own our failures, we see our sins, then we begin to understand humanity, make allowances for people. We begin to become more patient, more forgiving of people when we see our own sins, you know. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, there's a very interesting encounter. Two disciples, we are told, of John the Baptist begin to follow Jesus. And going along, he turns around and he said, "What are you looking for?" And they answer, "Where do you live?" And he says, "Come and see." And they come and spend a day with him, and they become his disciples. One of them is Andrew. When we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, when we have a sense of prayer, something deeper than the obvious, something the world can't give, then somehow we begin to see. Young people who go through some kind of a transformation will be able to see their parents in a different way, with a sense of gratitude, reverence. Wow, so missing in our society today. We are visited by the malaise of the arrogance of certainty. If somebody doesn't agree with us, they're stupid, they're ridiculous, they're out of date or something. It's an arrogance, and that arrogance comes from the lack of seeing. We don't see. Interesting story told. It's a parable about a monastery, and there were a number of monks in a monastery. And a new recruit came into the monastery, a young monk. And there was an older monk. He was one of those people that you meet now and then who are born disagreeable. You know, the kind of people. I mean, they're just disagreeable. That's the way they are. I don't know if God made them disagreeable, but that's the way they are. Well, there was an old monk, and he was one of these disagreeable people. And he berated this young monk. He would put him down. He'd make judgments about him. Gave him a very hard time. And the young monk, he was struggling fiercely. And he decided he would leave and go on a retreat, and then he'd come back again. And he based his retreat on one line from St. Paul's letter to the Romans there in chapter 12. Be transformed through the changing of your mind. That was his prayer, to be transformed by the changing of your mind. So he went through his retreat and he came back to the monastery. And he was shortly back in the monastery when the old monk got on his case again. And the old monk began to put him down and began to judge him. And the old monk finally said to him, "You know, after all your retreat and all your prayer, I don't see you as any different." And the young monk paused for a moment and he looked at the old monk and he said, "I know, but I see you differently." So it's not that you're going to change the landscape, but you're going to change the way you see it. So what does this mean? It means the conflict you have in your life, the misunderstanding you have, the fear you have, the anxiety for the future, the sense of failure in your life that you might experience sometime, the lack of self-value. It comes because you're not seeing. You're not seeing with the eyes of faith. When you bring that into prayer and you shape it inside a place of contemplative prayer, I mean real prayer, you begin to see it differently, begin to understand life, and you might discover that your greatest failure is in fact the greatest moment of grace. You might find that the person who burdens you the most in life is a call for you to be deeply more generous, more caring, more understanding, because you'll begin to see. And that's what this gospel is about. To listen to the word of God and to make the Lord's day holy by the manner in which we see. See with the eyes of faith. It will change your day. It might even change your life. Amen.